When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Harassed and helpless. Such descriptive words. I don't know about you, but there have been points this week when I have felt helpless. Thinking about the smoggy, smudge, smoke-filled air of last week and those raging wildfires in Canada that seem to get bigger and bigger every year. It's this visible reminder that our world is changing, perhaps a bit too rapidly. And this could be our future, pulling those masks out to protect ourselves from the very air we need to live. There seems to be gun violence just under the surface, and sadly aimed at the youngest among us. There have been 490 anti-trans laws introduced in our country this year, 12 in our very own Commonwealth of Virginia, aimed at our siblings in Christ who are just trying to be authentically who they are. And these laws tell them it's not okay to seek medical treatment, it's not okay to play on a sports team, it's not okay to even use the bathroom. You as a human are not okay. Harassed and helpless. Not to mention the chaos of our own personal lives. Many of us attempting to work and commute and parent. Or perhaps you're retired and you're trying to figure out what life looks like now. The best ways to use your time and finances and health. How do we do it all? Take care of our homes and our families, even our bodies. Harassed and helpless. Like the crowds in Jesus' day, I want Jesus to show up and blow things out of the water, snap his fingers and bring back peace and justice, trample down the bullies and put food on every table, give us clean air and still waters, calm to our quiet minds and restless spirits, give us a permanent fix for every ache and pain we experience. And yet, maddeningly, God does not work the way that CJ wants God to. When Jesus sees these crowds harassed and helpless and is filled with compassion, I would expect Jesus, the wise and wonderful Son of God, that caring and capable shepherd, to step into this vacuum for the sake of the sheep. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus does not do. He commissions this motley crew of disciples out in his shepherding sandals. Let me give you the rundown of this group of people. First, we have Peter, who denies Jesus not one, but three times. Next comes this couple uneducated, unremarkable fishermen. And remember, fishing was a profession like on the bottom of the totem pole in first century Palestine. It's what you did if you couldn't do anything else. Then you've got Matthew, the tax collector, who we talked about last week, a profession that's often so despised among the locals because they were pretty corrupt collaborators with the Roman Empire. And then on the opposite end, we have Simon, the Canaanian, the zealot, who used to battle against those very occupiers. And let's not forget who comes last. We've got beloved Judas, the one who's going to betray Jesus at the end. This is who Jesus sends to the harassed and helpless. It's laughable. And yet, in our first reading, we're reminded that oftentimes the way that God chooses to work is indeed very laughable. For here we have Abram and Sarai, this couple who are in their golden years. Abram is 100, and Sarai is 90. And they were just been told that they're going to have a baby. But I don't know about you, I am almost 40. And last night, Phoebe was up from 2 until 5:30. My eyes are burning today. I feel outmatched by a six-month-old. I cannot imagine getting this news in 50 years. Before these strangers show up, Abram has this talk with God, and God says, yep, I'm going to make this happen. And here, claim a new name, Abraham, which means father to the multitude. And we'll give a new name to Sarai, too, which means local barren mountain, Sarai, will be turned into Sarah, which means mother to the nations. For new nations and many generations are going to show up through you two. And Abraham and Sarah laugh. And God says, perfect, name the kid Isaac, which means laughter in Hebrew. You can't make this stuff up. These texts are a good reminder that too often we take life way too seriously. And it's hard not to. The problems we face in our life and in our world feel so massive, so big, so impossible to fix or create change. And yet we have a God who works in mysterious, somewhat maddening ways. And perhaps this is the point. Perhaps God does this to get our attention. But perhaps even at a deeper level, God does these zany things to help train our eyes and our heart and our mind, to strengthen our ability to hope against hope, and therefore our ability to act in times of adversity. Think of it this way. If God's grace often works through unlikely means and unexpected people, then in situations of difficulty, even when the likeliest remedies are exhausted and expected champions falter, we can still be hopeful, tenaciously hopeful. Just like that Romans reading, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Tenacious hope is being built up in us so that we will keep on going even when things get hard. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. It's that day we celebrate in this country that all enslaved people were finally free, because it took a while. Even though President Lincoln freed the slaves through the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, it was not until the 13th Amendment was passed that emancipation ended slavery throughout the entire United States. But even then, it could not be implemented in places still under Confederate control. So freedom finally showed up to Western Texas on June 19th, 1865. When some 2,000 Union troops finally arrived in Galveston Bay, Texas. And this army announced to the more than 250,000 enslaved black people in the state that they were free. Almost 2 years later. And even today, we are still wrestling as a country. How can we be a place of equity and welcome and freedom for everyone? It's a slow and challenging, maddening and frustrating and painful process. And yet together with the Holy Spirit, we work for a day when all will be free, when all will experience wholeness and safety and dignity. In the face of today's many challenges in our communities and in our hearts, forward movement can feel so elusive, illusionary, and laughable. But the good news of the gospel is anywhere that love and justice seems laughable, the Spirit is already at work and calls the church to join with her. It may take some time, some struggle, and plenty of tenacious hope. But in the end, dear ones, God promises to transform our private laughter of disbelief into shared laughter of astonishment and joy. For as that mysterious visitor puts it to Sarah, is anything too wonderful, too difficult, or too hidden for our God? Amen. Thanks be to God.